chapter 15 of Acts, verse 1. I'll read first. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost as he did us unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had brought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God, unto God, are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from the beginning, from among the Gentiles, are turned to God, and that we write to them that they abstain from the pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Sicilia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying, You must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our brethren, our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats of idol offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren and to the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still, and Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, confirming the churches. Seems like an awful lot, and there is a lot of meaning in this chapter. So we need to watch and see what's being said. So we go back to the first verse, and it says, some, and the word men isn't even really there, and some which came down from Judah taught the brethren, except or unless you be circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be delivered. You cannot possibly be delivered. And that's what the church is telling you today. If you don't do these things, we're not just talking about circumcision. They say if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, if you're not water baptized, if you don't take communion, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, this is the same thought process that religion tries to hold on to the law and tell you you've got to do these things. The only reason that you know that God loves you is because He's your Father. That's the only reason that we're concerned with. Does your Father love you? Absolutely. So I don't have to do anything to make my Father love me, do I? My Father prefers for me to be obedient. But if I'm disobedient, He will correct me, right? Because He loves me. Because He loves me, He'll correct me. So we don't have to worry about this religious thing. When people start telling you, you have to do this so God will accept you, it's a lie. It's the same lie that came from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. If you do this, you'll be like God. And literally, it's not to be saved. Like I said, it's to be delivered. Jesus died on the cross to save the world. Is that true? It's what the book says. He died to save the world. Well, if He died to save the world, He's already saved it, hasn't He? Well, then we don't need to be saved, do we? What we need to do is be delivered from the way we think. See, we've been told for years that we're human beings having a spiritual experience. But we are actually spiritual beings created from God, who is spirit. So we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And this human experience is necessary for you to remember who you are. Most people don't remember who they are. They think they know who they are because someone told them. Well, see, no one has to tell you who you are. Do you think you have to teach a dog how to bark? Because it's in them. See, and we're born with Christ in us, but someone has lied to us and told us that we're just human beings. So next thing we do, we start barking like those old dogs just because someone told us we were. We never went to check and see what we really were. See, we've never done the work to find out who we are. And that's all Adam lost in the garden. God wasn't mad at him. God didn't threaten to put him in hell and burn him when he died. He didn't do any of them things. He covered him. First thing God did was kill the beast and covered him when he made the mistake. Okay? Beautiful thing. He was taking care of him. And He's going to restore him. And the great thing about it is, God said He's not going to leave any wickedness in the earth. What are we made out of? Dirt. We're made out of the earth. So this is the earth. He said He's not going to leave any wickedness in. See, that ought to make you happy when you understand He's not talking about a group of bad people He's going to take and burn. He's going to take the bad out of you, and the only thing left in you is God. That's the good thing. That ought to make you happy. Now, verse 2. Therefore, the first word when's not there. Therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small controversy, not dissension, but controversy and debate with them. And they agreed that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this debate. Not question, but this debate. And the debate was, should they be circumcised and keep the law of Moses after God has sent His Son to die for the world? That's kind of an ignorant or stupid question in my book. If God already took care of saving us, why do we need to keep the law of Moses any longer? I know we don't, but yet how many people are still gullible enough to not think for yourself? God give each individual a brain, and we should think with it. Don't let someone tell you what you should do. You use your mind. God gave it. It's your gift. They're walking in ignorance. They're letting someone think for them. And this question, you know, if Jesus died for the whole world, then why do I need to do something to be saved? He died for me to be saved, so I'm already saved. He already took care of that. I'm not talking about the church world saved. I'm talking about what Christ did for us. And being sent on their way by the church, They passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the what? It's the King James says conversion of the Gentiles. That's not what it says. If you look at the word, it says the return of the Gentiles. The return. Now, how can they return if they've never been with him before? Kind of impossible, isn't it? I can't return to this room if I've never been in it before, can I? I can go there, but I can't return until I've been there once before. What's that telling you? We were all in God before the foundation of the world. We were all there. And so when anyone goes to God, they're not just going to God, they're returning to their Father. Correct? We're returning. It's in the language if they would just look at it. But see, God hid this in the language, and we're supposed to be good stewards and go search it out. Be good Bereans. And they caused great joy to all the brethren. Now, how come today when someone comes in, there's not great joy in the church? Now, there's great joy in the church if you do it according to our doctrine. Isn't that what they say? If you come and do it the way we tell you to do it, but it's not the way God said. Then we got to get away from what everybody else says. You got to learn to be independent of a group of people. And I'm not saying we don't fellowship. That's not what I'm saying. But don't let a group of people make up your mind. I'm saying don't let this group of people make up your mind. Think for yourself. God made us as unique as our DNA and our fingerprints. And we should be independent in our thinking. We should think what God is saying. You should hear God yourself. And when you hear God yourself, you won't need no one to tell you what to do, will you? It's already there. He placed it in you before the foundation of the world. He says he wrote it in your heart. And that's your mind. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church. It didn't say the Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholic, the Pentecostals, anybody else did it. It said the what? And that church is a group of called out people, the ecclesia. Okay? So the whole group, everyone received them. And the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them or through them. And there arose a certain or some of the sect of the Pharisees, and there's always a few of the Pharisees hiding around the corner, you know. Them, you know how serpents are, they hide behind things and in things and under things. And Jesus called the Pharisees a bunch of serpents, didn't he? Okay. I think I said one time that he said it this way, you're a snake, your daddy was a snake, and your granddaddy was a snake. All a bunch of snakes. See? And he said, anyway, these Pharisees which believed, saying that that it was necessary to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses. Well, why? It's the same thing today, isn't it? Why do people tell you things like that? There's a question here. It's a legitimate question. Why would the church world in each of their little sects say you've got to keep our rules to be saved or go to heaven? Control. It's control and manipulation. And see, misery loves what? Company. They're in hell and they don't want to be by themselves. They want a whole bunch of people to be around them so everybody can be miserable with them. God said come to him for peace and joy. Right? I don't need to go to church to catch hell. But that's where you'll find it. Read Isaiah 5. He called the church hell. Go read it yourself. I ain't going to break that down now. Okay. And the apostles and elders came together to consider concerning this matter. The word matter is logos, word. Consider this word. They want to get together and consider these words. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. There comes a time when you've got to say in your life, enough of this foolish talking. Enough of this foolish talking about raptures and devils and hells and all this stuff. How about let's putting our focus upon God? Let's quit talking about all the things that we think about that has nothing to do with the Word of God. There's got to come a time in your life when you're going to stand up like Peter and say, hey, enough of this. Let's talk about the important things that God said. Okay? And he said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the good news. Well, tell me what's good news about I got to go back and jump through a hoop every time somebody comes up with a new regulation. Or be circumcised. Or I got to do this or I got to do that. I am God's child and so are you. The only difference between any two of God's children is one's obedient and one's disobedient. It's the only thing that can be different. We're not talking about the color of their skin. We're not talking about their size, their weight, their height, anything about them. Whether they got hair or no hair, it doesn't make any difference. The only thing is, are you obedient or disobedient? That's all there is. Nothing else. And to hear the good news that and believe. See, when you hear the good news, you can believe. When you hear the intimidation and threats the church throws at you, how many people want to go love a God that's only taking you because you're afraid of Him? How many people want a God like that? He's going to threaten you or else, give you an ultimatum. How many people here like ultimatums? Nobody likes them. Well, imagine that. See, God doesn't give ultimatums. God just says, this is the way it is, and that's it, period. He didn't say, do it or else. He didn't say, if you don't do what I tell you, I'm going to burn you in hell. That's what the preachers have come up with. So they can control you, and they can manipulate you, and they can get you to stand up on your feet and throw your hands in the air, and it gives them a clear access into your hip pocket to get your money. That's exactly what it's all about. He goes on and says this, and God, which knows the hearts, what's he talking about when he says heart? He knows the minds. He knows the thoughts of our minds. And it said, knows that the minds bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as to us. He said, God gave the Gentiles the same thing He gave us. So what makes us any better than them? But why do we have so many sects in the church today, in the man's church? You've got 12 or 25,000 recognized denominations, and everybody's saying, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out somebody's messed up, do you? Somebody's really messed up somewhere, you know, because he didn't come to get a few, he come to get them all. See, somebody's messed up. Their theology is not very good. They need to go back and read the book really good, really close. Maybe just read the book at all, maybe, because they don't, I don't think, because the stories they tell don't come out of this book. Okay, verse 9, and put to difference between us and them, and put no difference between us and them, cleansing their minds by faith. You want your mind cleansed? How is it? By hearing the word of God, which builds faith in you. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, correct? And you got to hear it internally, not externally. See, when they spoke, the Holy Spirit was speaking, witnessing inside of them, and they were saying, yes, that's right. I can hear, I understand what they're saying now. See, it's not the words coming out of my mouth that you hear, but it's the echo of the Spirit in your body, in your mind, that's telling you what's going on. Do you hear me? That's just the Spirit resonating in you, and deep calls unto what? To deep. It's the Spirit to the Spirit talking. See, I can't talk in my flesh to God. Excuse me, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, and I can't talk to God in my flesh. My spirit communes with God. Your spirit communes with God. See, the world, church world tells you, don't just sit there and ask God anything. That's what He's going to do. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not a puppet on a string to be controlled. He's not a dog on a leash. He's God. He's the master. And the only way you're going to communicate with Him is in spirit. So forget all the foolishness they tell you about all the ways of doing it in your flesh. That's just them controlling you, manipulating you. Verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to endure? What's Peter telling you? Nobody's kept the law to this day. Nobody's kept the law. He said our fathers couldn't do it and we can't do it today. So why are you putting a yoke on them that they can't bear if we can't bear it? And that's what a yoke is for, to control you and to steer you where they want you to go. It's a domination, absolutely. So we've got to realize that's what all this stuff is about. They're trying to dominate and control us. That's why they call them denominations. They divide and control. Verse 11 goes on and says, but we believe, the word that isn't there, we believe through grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we shall be delivered even as they. Now listen, he said through the grace of our Lord. Grace is not forgiveness. Grace is a divine influence in your heart and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. So when God deals with my heart, my thinking process, it shows in my lifestyle. Do you hear what I'm saying? When He changes the way I think about something, you will know what I'm thinking because my way of doing things will change. Okay? That's what he's telling us. Then all the multitude kept silence. Now, you better mark this down because it don't happen very often. Do you hear what I'm saying? It don't happen very often that the multitude is silent. Only when the Spirit of God is speaking is there any silence. And it says, they kept silence and heard. They didn't give audience. They heard Barnabas and Paul declaring what miracles and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. God used them as a vessel to bring about certain miracles. And after they had kept silent, James, or literally Jacob, responded saying, men and brethren, hear me. Simeon has declared how God, in the beginning, okay, in the beginning, did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his what? Anoma. For his authority, for his nature, his character. He chose a people out, which was the Jewish people. And to these things agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again. Now where he says return, what's that mean? He'd been there before. He said, I'm here now and I'm going to return. See, anytime you get that R-E there at the front of a word, it's got to be doing it again. And will build, right, again, the tabernacle. And the word build again, guess what it means, literally? What do you think it means? Literally it means to build anew. Not rebuild, but build anew. I'm going to build a new tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. The one fell down. I'm going to build a new one. He says, build anew the tabernacle of David. And I will build anew the ruins thereof, and I will what? Build anew, build it again, okay? Rebuild it. Verse 17, that the residue or the rest of humanity, not might, cross out that word might because that's an added word there, that the rest of men seek the Lord. The word might and after in that verse right there are both added words. So the rest of humanity seek the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my nature, my character is called, says the Lord, who does all these things. So who's doing this calling people in? Doesn't the book say no man can come to me except the Spirit draws him? Of Christ. Absolutely. Verse 18. Well known, not just known, but well known to God are all his works from the beginning of the ages. Therefore, my decision, not sentence, but my decision is that we not harass, the word trouble not shouldn't be, it should say, harass not them, which from the beginning, from among the Gentiles, were what? Verse 19, which from among the Gentiles were what? No, it says returned again. That returned to God. Any of the Gentiles that returned to God, we shouldn't harass them anymore. So what's Peter telling you these rules and regulations are? It's harassment. It's harassment. They're not good. No, they're not. But it's harassment. He said we should not harass these people anymore, the ones that returned to God. See? So why don't the preachers hear this? Why don't they stop harassing people? Why don't they stop standing on a street corner yelling, get saved or you're going to burn in hell? See, that's harassing people. Why can't they hear what the man said? This is a man speaking by the inspiration of God and they don't listen. He said, quit harassing them. If they come back, leave them alone. Now they come back and now you got to make them jump through a hoop and get circumcised and water baptized and do all these things. It's not of God. Leave them alone. Stop harassing them. Verse 20. But that we write to them that they abstain from pollutions or defilement of idols or idolatry. Pollution or defilement of idolatry. And from fornication, okay, or idolatry. And from things strangled and from blood. Now, when they say things strangled, do you know what they're really saying? They're talking about killing an animal without hanging up and draining the blood out of it. They just choked it to death or something. Like they'd grab a bird and choke it to death and then just clean it and eat it and the blood's still in it. Because if you don't let the blood drain out, it gels right in the meat. And I guarantee you it don't taste good anyway. See? And that's the way the pagans offered their blood that way. You know, they bled the blood in the whole animal. And God made them bleed the animal. See, the sacrifice was the blood. Verse 21. because Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. He says, we're going to have people in every city, and it's going on today. Every city from old time has every man preached about Moses, haven't they? They're still preaching the Old Testament, the law. Well, come on. We're not under the law. The law was fulfilled in Christ. So how come we're preaching the law? I want to tell you today, we've got a new covenant. And the new covenant says to love the Lord to God with all the heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. In this, the law and the prophets agree. See, that's what we got to realize. It said, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by their hand to them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting to the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Sicily. There's three realms right there. Okay? For as much as we heard that certain of them went out from us, having troubled you with words, subverting your what? That word is not soul. Subverting your spirits. I'm going to tell you what, your soul hasn't been anything but subverted. It's a mixture. That's why you have a problem, because of the soulish realm we've lived in. It's absolute, the soul is duality. It's a mixture of two things. But this word is psuche, and if you look at the very first thing it says is spirit. You must be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, to whom we gave no commandments. We gave no such commandment. And see, God didn't give a commandment to keep the law of Moses anymore. Did he? It's been fulfilled in Christ. We don't have to keep that law. If you're guilty of one portion of the law, what's the penalty? Okay. If they're keeping the law, how come they're not sacrificing goats and sheep and animals anymore? Oh, they changed the rules on us, didn't they? Yeah. Why are they doing these things and not keeping the whole law? Because if you told a lie, you're under the law, you're just as guilty as someone who stole something. It didn't make any difference. Any violation of the law was penalty of death. And that's why he died, so there's no more penalty of death on us anymore. There's grace and mercy now. That's why people don't understand. It's so confusing to people. Because they're still telling them they got to keep the law, and you don't. The only law you have now is love. If you love somebody, you won't hurt them, you won't steal from them, you won't cheat them, you won't lie to them, will you? If you love them. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep what? My commandments. So real love is being obedient to someone, isn't it? And isn't that what Father wants us to do? To love him? If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. And we'll love all of his other children too, won't we? Even if they're not good to us, we'll still love them. And how do you tell the brethren from everybody else? You'll know the brethren for their love for one another. Okay, verse 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded. No, that's not what it, the word hazarded isn't there. It should say men that have committed their spirits, not lives, for the nature and character and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word hazarded should be committed. The word lives should be spirit. Their spirits. They've committed their spirits for the onoma, the name and nature and character and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's all that's important to them anymore. If we put our focus upon Christ and forget all the other foolishness everybody else keeps telling you to look at, that's just a smokescreen. Keep your eyes upon Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep it on him. If you follow him, can you be wrong? Okay? Just stay after him. Don't worry about anything else. He says, we have, verse 27, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things through words. Okay? Through words. Not mouth, by mouth, but through words. Because it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to impose upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you refrain from meats offered to idols and from idolatry, not blood, but idolatry, and from things strangled and from fornication. Literally, it's idolatry. That you, and let me back up to this verse again, 29. That you refrain from meats offered to idols and from bloodshed. not blood, bloodshed. That means killing people. And from things strangled and from idolatry, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Did you hear what they said? Don't kill nobody. Don't eat the meat offered to idols. And stay away from fornication. And he said, you've done very well. How complicated is that one? Okay. They made it very simple. I have a writing called the Didache. And if anybody's interested in seeing that writing, it's on the website. It's not on our website. We should put it on there, though. Maybe we'll put it on a new one. But it was an article written called the Didache, or the Teaching of the Twelve in the first century. And there was very few people who could read and write. So they had to make it very simple. They didn't have Bibles like we have today. They didn't have the writings, and most people couldn't read and write. Women wasn't permitted to read and write back then, most of them. So they made it very simple. They wrote down 16 articles from the apostles and said, these are things, if you can keep these things, you do real well, which is a little more than the three they gave you here. And if you read those things, it will absolutely tear up the church doctrines today. It will absolutely shred them. And all your great people in the church realm, what do they call them, the ones with doctor degrees and everything, all these great students of the language and everything, they'll all say this is an authentic writing. They're saying this Didache is an authentic writing. It really is. That's why it's real. And if you take it into their church and read it, it'll tear their church up. But they'll still say it's there. It's real. But they don't want to tell anybody about it. See, they think they're smarter than God. They don't think you need to know what God preserved for you. Okay, verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the encouragement. See, it's encouraging to know that you don't have to keep all those silly rules that man makes up. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, encouraged the brethren through many words and confirmed them. No, the word says re-established them. They re-established them. That had to mean that they were established before and got away from it, didn't it? They were re-established. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren to the apostles. But it pleased Silas to remain there, period. The word still isn't supposed to be there. Paul also and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return, not go again, but return and visit or inspect. Literally it says, let's go back and inspect and see how they're doing. Our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are holding up. Let's go see if they're holding up after what we've told them. You know why he said something like that? His experience. He knew what happened to you when you start speaking the truth, which goes contrary to religious doctrine. He knows that the battle's going to begin. And see how many have got the fortitude to stand up to that kind of pressure. Let's go back and encourage them again. Let's go back and get them reestablished if there's a problem. He didn't say, I'll let them go. They didn't make it. He said, let's go back and reestablish them again. Charge their batteries and get them back on their feet, see? And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname is Mark. But Paul thought not good to take with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. See, Paul didn't go with them because he didn't like John Mark. Pamphylia means of every tribe. So he went with them to depart. He departed to every other tribe. Okay? Paul went everywhere else that they didn't go. And the contention was so sharp between them that they separated one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Cyprus means love. Separation. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, confirming the churches. No, he didn't. The word confirming there is reestablishing again. He went back reestablishing. See, everybody feels so much guilt and condemnation because when they start serving God, when they feel the call of God to come in, the first thing they do is say, now you're here, now you're a sinner saved by grace, and what you've got to do is this, 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 and this. It's no different when God gave 10 commandments, the Jews wrote 680 some more of them on top of it. It's the same thing today when you walk into church. God says, come to me as you are. And the church say, nope, stop and take a shower. You got to get cleaned up before you come see God. God knows what position you're in. You don't need all these other things that they're hanging on you. So he come back to reestablish them. He doesn't care if they made a mistake and fell down. I come back to reestablish you. It's okay, I'm an encourager. I'm going to get you back up on your feet. You know these blow-up things you see at these used car lots? You know, they're waving these men stand up, the fan blowing up through them, and it's a little hollow, and their arms are waving. That's where a lot of people are. We call them high maintenance. You know, you turn the power off, whoop, they hit the floor. Turn the fan back on, whoop, they're right back up there waving to you again, see? They need to be reestablished. Did God tell me to take it and feed somebody and get them established in something and walk away and let them die? No. If you got to go back again, Paul said, it's not tedious, it's needful that I say these things again. It's not grievous to me, but it's needful that I say them for you to hear it again so that you can be reestablished in this and reconfirmed in this thing so you can go on again. Okay? Don't be discouraged because you make a mistake. Know that if you made a mistake, now I got a chance to correct it. If you never made a mistake, you would never change in your life. You would stay the way you are right now till the day you die if you never make a mistake. So mistakes are a gift of God, and we need to gladly accept these and thank God for the grace and mercy that goes with them. You grow into it. It's not an instant thing. When you conceive a child in the womb of a mother, is it an instant birth? Even when the child is birthed out into the world, is it an instant adult? I heard that giggle. Okay. It's something we have to realize. It takes time for someone to mature in this thing. It's not an overnight thing. I didn't mature in it overnight. And I'm not going to put the burden on you to say you have to do it in a certain length of time. It's not my call. Like I said earlier, I am a seed sower. I will sow the seed. If I have to come back and re-sow your garden, I'll re-sow your garden. That's okay. That's my call. If I sow it the first time, come back, sow it the second time, third, fourth, fifth, tenth, 25th, or 100th time, what difference does it make to me? If that's my only job is sowing seed, what's the big deal? Why should I get upset because I have to redo it again? That's my only job. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's my only job to sow seed. So whether I'm sowing it to you for the 100th time or someone the first time, what's the difference? You tell me. It's only the attitude of my heart. Is it not? If I got a problem with that, whose problem is it? It's mine. And I can't have a problem with that because that is my job. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. That's right. I got to do what I've told to do, and that's it. I don't argue.
Whoops, I just knocked that off. I know that.
You have to redo that end of it because I knocked that off. My glasses caught that when I took them off. It's okay now, isn't it? But that's the way it is. I mean, I'm just going to do whatever I'm told to do, and that's the end of it. I'm just going to do what I'm told to do. I'm not going to worry about it. If he tells me to sow seed, whether I'm sowing it in this garden or in that garden, what difference does it make? I'm sowing the seed. I like this book of Acts. I don't know about y'all. But there's a lot of good things. I've been in this book for years and years and years, and every time I get in it, it just gets better. It just gets better. So I'm going to stop here today.